So let's turn to God's Word near the end of our New Testament, 3 John. John's third letter recorded here in Scripture as we continue our series. Short letters, very small letters. This is the shortest letter in all of the New Testament. Small letter, 15 verses, but contains huge truths from God's Word. And we want it to fill our hearts as we study it here this morning. So 3 John, whatever way you want to say it. And as we thought about it last week, we looked at the first four verses last Sunday morning. We looked at how this was a letter written by the Apostle John. He wrote John's Gospel, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. This is a personal letter that he wrote to a believer called Gaius. We don't know much about Gaius, but he was a member of a local church. And really the phrase that we unpacked last Sunday morning is a phrase that's put down in verses 3 and verse 4 as well. Walking in the truth. That's what we thought about last Sunday morning. That was the challenge to each of our hearts if we are believers. We need to be people who are walking in the truth. And when we start to walk in the truth, when we start to follow Jesus Christ, the one He is the truth, when we start to obey Scripture, as we start to live our lives as believers, things start to happen in our Christian lives. And there's three things that you can bring out of this very short letter. People who are walking in the truth bring joy. That's what we thought about last Sunday morning. We thought about how John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that you're walking in the truth. So if you're walking in the truth, it brings joy to other believers. And we can split this chapter up into three different sections. Each of the sections starts with the word beloved. So we see that in verse 2, then it's verse 5 and verse 11. We're going to concentrate on the second section this morning. We're going to really concentrate on verses 5 to 10. And people who are walking in the truth will show love. They'll show love one for another. The love of Christ will be shown in their life. And then the final section that we'll look at next Sunday morning as we finish off this short letter is people walking in the truth imitate good. They don't imitate evil, but they imitate good in their lives. So let's concentrate on the second section this morning. Let's have a closer look at verses 5 to 10. But really, just to bring it all in its context, let's read the whole letter and let's join our hearts together as we study God's Word. Let's listen carefully. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I'd rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. Amen. Let me ask this morning, what kind of church member are you? If you're a church member here, you belong to this congregation, what kind of church member are you? What kind of church member am I? Am I somebody, are you somebody who is a blessing to this local church? Or are you a curse? Are you somebody who's showing love? Are you somebody who is causing division? We don't know much about this man Gaius who this letter has been written to. We know a few things. He's part of a local church, just like you, many of you here this morning. He's walking in the truth, hopefully like many of you as well here this morning. And as he walks in the truth, this brings real joy. The Apostle John himself says, there's no greater joy to see people like you walking in the truth. Here's something else we know about this man. He shows love. He's showing love to other Christians. We see that in verses 5 and 6. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. Other people can see it. In fact, other people are speaking about it. They see your love, they see your actions, even the strangers who've come in amongst this local church. And what a testimony. You are somebody who is showing love. Why is he showing love? Because he's somebody who is walking in the truth. Now, in that day, and we talked about this as we looked at 2 John a few weeks ago, in that day, there would have been lots of teachers who would have traveled around. These churches were young churches. They were young in their faith. Even the leaders in the church maybe would only have been Christians for a very short time. And so people would have traveled about. People like the Apostle John. As we mentioned even last week, at this stage, we believe he was the last of the apostles. All the rest of them had died out. He's the only one left remaining. And he would have sent out people who are mature in their faith, people who are walking in the truth, to go around and visit these local churches, to preach the gospel, to evangelize, and to teach the believers and to build them up in their faith so they can continue walking in the Lord. And so there were these teachers who would have traveled about. And in those days, there was no Premier Inn. There was no £29 deals where you get a night in a nice, comfortable hotel. The responsibility and the obligation for looking after and giving hospitality to these teachers as they travel about fell to the local believers in the churches. Now, as these people came in to teach and to strengthen the church, they were probably strangers. They'd probably never met the people who they were going to share with before. Maybe they'd been through before, but in many cases, they would have been strangers. But as they came into their midst, you would regard them as brothers, because that's what they were. Brothers in the Lord, part of the same family, the family of God. And so as they came into the area, you didn't keep them outside. You didn't treat them as you would a stranger, a complete stranger. This is your brother in Christ. If there's women traveling with them, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the way you were to treat them. You opened your home, you welcomed them in as part of the same family of God. Now, as we read 2 John a few weeks ago, we saw there was a warning. You need to be careful. You just didn't swing the door open of your home to anybody. And the test of who you let into your home was the test of truth. And if somebody was walking in the truth, and they were preaching the truth, and they were declaring things which were true, you opened your door, you welcomed them in. But that wasn't always the case, because there were wolves who were out there, wolves in sheep's clothing, to use Jesus' phrase from Matthew's gospel. There were people who were false teachers. There were people who were deceiving. And so you didn't swing open the door of your house and let them in. No, you want to close the door, otherwise you would be part of their wicked works as well, as John puts it in his second letter. You needed to be careful. But Gaius, this member of the local church, knows the truth. He can spot truth from false teaching. And so he has welcomed teachers into his house. People sent from John. John hasn't visited. John has sent people out as representatives of such who come under with his authority. They've come. They come with a truthful message. And so Gaius has welcomed them in. And the implication here, as we read this, is he's probably opened his own home. He's let them stay with him. He's welcomed them into the church because he knows the difference between truth and falsehood. These are the kinds of people we want to support. We want to show love to these people because they are true brothers in Christ. Even though they're strangers, even though I've never met them before, in Christian love, I'm going to welcome them with open arms, an open door to my home, and an open heart as well. Because as we've worked our way through these short letters, we've seen that two things are inseparable, truth and love. It's really the key message that just keeps coming through John's letter here. Truth and love. They're not parallel lines that never meet. These two intersect. And because Gaius believes the truth, he lives it out. He opens his front door and he opens his heart to these strangers. And by showing hospitality to these people who've come through this area, he's actually playing a role in their ministry as well. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Do you get that phrase? You open your house, you let these people in, you help them as they travel about, as they preach and teach. You know what you are? If you show love to these people, you are a fellow worker. You're a fellow worker for the truth. You're a fellow worker for the gospel as well. Now, it tells us here in verse 7, these strangers have gone out for the sake of the name. It's an interesting phrase. I said 3 John is the shortest letter in the New Testament. It's all, actually the only book as well in the New Testament where you will not find the name of Christ. You will not find Jesus mentioned. You will not find Christ mentioned. You will find God mentioned. It's mentioned a number of times. But Christ specifically, or Jesus Christ, is never mentioned in this letter. But it's mentioned indirectly here in verse 7, because that's what it's talking about for the sake of the name. Who is the name? It's the name that's above every name. It's the name where only salvation can be found. It's the name that represents Jesus Christ. And as these people went out for the sake of the name, as they went out in Christ's name to teach the truth about Christ and to share the gospel with people, as they went out, they didn't expect support from non-Christians. They weren't going to swing into a town and look around for people who didn't know the truth, who weren't part of God's family, who weren't brothers and sisters in Christ. They weren't expecting a penny off people like that. They weren't expecting those people to open their homes. They use the phrase here, Gentiles. That really means people who are not part of the local church here. They expected it from their family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And providing support and caring for these preachers as these missionaries as they traveled around was actually a spiritual ministry. Before I mentioned, it makes the giver a fellow worker in the truth. Now look at the emphasis here in verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support people like these. These people go out, they're giving of their time, they're sacrificing a lot because they believe the truth and they're communicating with other people. As they travel about, we ought to support people like these. It's not an optional added extra. Well, if you feel like it. If you get on well with them, maybe you could, you know, give them a bit of support there, give them a bit of help. This is what we ought to do. If we love Christ, and if we love the truth, and we're showing love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we ought to do. Now, let's pause here at this moment. Let's think this through practically, and let's think this through, apply it into our own lives as well. We're not all called to be preachers, and we're not all called to be missionaries, to travel about. Guest wasn't, as far as we know. Doesn't tell us anywhere that he was a preacher, a leader in the church. Doesn't tell us that. Do you know what he was? Just a faithful church member. Somebody committed to a local body of believers. And so he welcomes these people into his home, and he welcomes them into the church, and he provides accommodation for them. And I'm sure he puts food on the table. He doesn't want them going hungry. And so he provides food. You know what that would have done? That would have affected him maybe financially in his own pocket. He covered the cost himself. There was a bit of a sacrifice there as he brought them into their home, as he cared for them, as he put meals on the table. Why did he do that? Why did he make a sacrifice? It's always a bit of an inconvenience when other people are in your house. You never relax the same, sure you can't, when there's visitors coming through, particularly if they're strangers you don't know. Why did he do that? Because he loved Christ. And he loved the truth that was being shared and taught and used to build up this local church. And because he loved Christ and he loved the truth, he loved these brothers. And he had an open heart for him. And people walking in the truth show love. They show love one for another, even if they are strangers. Now, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, that's a different culture. That's 2,000 years ago. It's very different from our situation. We don't have these traveling preachers. We have a well-established church here. It's not an infant church like the church here that John is writing to. We have a church that's over 150 years. It's well-established. We have people who have been Christians for generations. We have church leaders, we have elders, we have a pastor. I preach pretty much most of the sermons here. We don't have lots of visiting preachers coming through the doors. We're a well-established, stable church here. It's a very, very different context. It's a very different culture from what John's writing here at this time. But there are times we can show the same kind of love. But we can show hospitality as well. There are opportunities for you to open your home. In fact, during the summertime, we will have some visiting speakers. Tracy will be looking for some people, maybe just to open the home. Now, don't worry, you don't need to have a spare bed in the bedroom, but just even give a meal at a lunchtime or so forth. Just to open your home, maybe even to a stranger. But somebody's maybe going to be coming through preaching God's word just to open your heart and to be a fellow worker as you support them and help them. Simon shared with us here this morning just about our summer children's work. Now, again, it's a different context, but let's just apply some of these principles into it. What was Simon asking for? He was asking for people to open their home. Not saying you need to be the one who's teaching the Bible lesson or doing the memory verse or that kind of thing, just to open your home. And by opening home, you can be a fellow worker. If you're somebody who loves Christ and you're somebody who loves the truth, you love the brothers and sisters, maybe that's something that's a possibility for you to do. Now, sometimes that's daunting for you. I know when we lived in Saintfield, we used to have a five-day club in our house every year. But it was practical for us because we lived in a cul-de-sac where there were stacks of kids. You might live in a street where there's no children, so it's just not an option for you. Maybe you don't even own the home, so it's not an option for you as well. But we opened the home because there were lots of kids. It was suitable. It was a good area. We could invite people. They would come along. We had children ourselves. That always drew a crowd. The plan was always to have in our front garden, but it's Northern Ireland, so it always rains during the summer. And we had to bring them into the house. We had a kitchen, joint, open dining room area as well. We used to stuff the dining room table over to a corner, get about 20 children on the floor of our kitchen dining room. And we just opened our home because we wanted to reach these children with the gospel. Maybe that's something you could think about because you love the truth and you think about the children in your street. Wouldn't it be great this summer just to share truth and just to share the love of Christ into the lives of neighbors and even just to meet with the parents as well as they come through? Maybe that's something you need to consider. Or maybe you can show love in other practical ways. Simon asked about people who could make a lunch. Making lunch and just supporting people and just being a fellow worker for the sake of the gospel as well. Do you know, in October time, we have another evangelism team coming to visit the church. I mentioned this at our business meeting in March. We have a college evangelism team, a group of about 10 or so students from the Irish Baptist College. And every year in October, they send teams out into work with different local churches all across Ireland. We have one of those teams coming to stay with us in October time. As we think with our new building opening, we were having just a real concentrated time of evangelism, of getting out into our community, of reaching the people. And so we're bringing a college team along, not to do all the work for us, no, so we can partner with them. We're going to spend a week of concentrated evangelism, going to do a lot of door-to-door work and different things to reach people in our community. We're going to have maybe about 8 or 10 strangers, don't know them, coming to partner with us in the gospel here in this church. And they're strangers, we don't know them, but they're probably going to need a bed to sleep in for that week. They don't live in Carrickfergus. And maybe you could open your home and put one of this team in up in your house if that's practical for you. And if that's something that you could just become a fellow worker in the gospel and just showing love in a very practical way to be a real blessing to the gospel and for our church as well. Now, as I say these things, I'm just putting out some examples there. I know this isn't applicable for some. There's some of you here, I don't want you feeling guilt, okay, as I throw these things out. Maybe you don't own a home. Maybe you're only 16, you're too young. You know, you can't open up your home if you're still living with your parents. Maybe you're elderly or you're just health-wise, that's just not practical. It's not an issue. Maybe you're somebody and you're the only person in your home who is a Christian, and so it's just not sensible as well, and it's just an issue that these are things that, well, it's not applicable for you, these applications. But let's think this through, okay? We're thinking here of a very specific situation of people who opened their home for the sake of gospel because they were showing love. There are lots of different ways to show love, of partnering with people for the sake of the gospel to be a fellow worker as well. I'm sure you can think of ways that you can show your love and be a real blessing to the church as well. Hospitality is the one that's coming out from John's gospel. And there are many ways to show hospitality, not just opening your home and those kind of situations, but just coming alongside and caring for people as well. They often say an Englishman's home is his castle. I think many of us fall into that. It's a castle, it's a place of defense where we get inside, we lift the drawbridge and nobody else is coming in. It's just for us, our own little safety. We don't want to mix or open it up to anybody else. But God has blessed many of us with these homes that we can use for the sake of the gospel and to show love to other people. And often an open home is a sign of an open heart. And it's a sign of our love for the brothers and sisters in Christ and a sign that we are walking in the truth. What can we do to be a blessing for the sake of the gospel? But in these days, people don't come to us the way they would have done in this way here in John's gospel, whether it would have been these visiting preachers and missionaries, people coming to plant churches. Okay, that's a very different context here. But let's think about what we do, because we're a well-established church and we are probably at the other side of it. We are sending people out. We are sending people from our local church here to lots of different places in the world. We have church missionaries, some of them here with us this morning, and we as a local church get behind them and we send them out with the truth. And we send them out with the message of Christ so that others may be here and respond to God's love as well. And as we send people out, we should be people who are showing love. We should support people like this. We ought to support people like this if we're going to use the words of verse 8 as well. It's a way of showing our love. We send our missionaries out. There are ways that we can care for them and support for them, and ways that we can become fellow workers with them. We mightn't be in Africa with Tim Wilson. We mightn't be sitting in Cap office in Bradford with Cherith. We mightn't be in the schools or in the five-day clubs with Simon and Gian. We mightn't be doing these other things, but we can still be fellow workers with these people that we send out, and our Baptist missionaries and those other mission organizations that we support as well. We can support them prayerfully. And we should be doing that, coming alongside, praying for the people as we send them out. But also sacrificially, supporting them financially, as they have made great sacrifices for the sake of the truth, as they have made great sacrifices for the sake of Christ's name and the glory of Christ's name as it is shared around. We can make sacrifices as well. We can put our hand in our pocket. We can support these people financially so they can remain on the field as well. This isn't just for the mission committee. This isn't just for the committed few, okay, those who have got an interest in mission. If we're walking in the truth, some way we can all show love, whatever way we're practically able to do, just to come alongside people and to be fellow workers in the gospel. We have ones that you know about that we have sent out. There are other people this moment who are speaking to the elders and the missionary committee as well about the possibility of going out from here and serving Christ. And maybe if that is God's will and they are sent out in the months ahead of us, we can become fellow workers and show our love in really practical ways to help these people as they share the truth. It's our evidence of our love for Christ. It's evidence of our love for the truth and our brothers. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, you know what, there's been certain people on my mind, certain mission organizations I'd love to get alongside and just to be a fellow worker as I support them in many practical ways, just to show my love for people. Maybe you'd like to find out, why don't you chat the Archie or some of our mission committee, just by practical ways how we can show our love for those who are sharing the truth around. But there's a real contrast in these verses. There's a real contrast between Gaius, who will be concentrating the point, and then in verse 9, we're introduced to somebody else who's completely different. He's part of a local church, but he's the complete opposite. His name is Diotrephes. Let's read verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So Gaius loves the brothers, and he's showing love to these people who have come to the church. Diotrephes is the complete contrast. Do you know who he loves? He loves himself. There's further details in verse 10. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to and puts them out of the church. So these people have been sent out from the Apostle John. They've been sent out under his authority to come and teach the truth, to build up the church, to preach the gospel, and he's turning these people away. He's turning away these people who are proclaiming truth. And you know what he's doing instead? He's talking wicked nonsense. That is a strong phrase from the pen of the Apostle. That's what this church member is doing. He is talking wicked nonsense. He has rejected the brothers, and by rejecting these people who've come, he's actually rejecting the Apostle John himself. And you know what he wants to do as well? He's not just going to close the door to these visitors, these strangers. He wants to put out of the church anybody else who wants to welcome them. So people like Gaius, he's showing his love. He wants to bring them into his home. He wants to bring these people into the church. Well, for Diotrephes, let's get rid of people like Gaius as well. Put them out of the church because we don't want any association with these kind of people. He obviously has some authority in the church. He obviously holds office. He's perhaps an elder. He holds this spiritual office, but he's sadly abusing it. He's the kind of church member we can do without. He's got an eye problem. And I'm not talking about these kind of eyes. It's the capital letter I. Everything is about him. Me, myself, and I. And instead of putting Christ first, he wants to put himself first in a local church. He's motivated by pride. Who should have the preeminence in the church? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who is above all things. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, I must decrease. And so as we live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, Christ must increase, he must have the preeminence, and we decrease. We take the servant role. We put the focus on Christ. But here's somebody in a position of authority in a local church, and he wants to be the top dog. He wants all the focus to be on him. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the boss, and he wants to be first. And so these people come from the Apostle John. These people have come from an apostle. And so as they come from an apostle, they come with a certain amount of authority. And somebody who wants to be first, somebody who wants to have authority, is going to feel challenged by other people who come with an apostle's authority. So what's he going to do? Slam the door. These people might take the positions I want. These people might be upfront teaching. I want to do that there. And so the door is closed. Let's get rid of these kind of people. He claims to be a Christian. He claims to be a leader in the church, but he denies it by his actions. He shows no love for Christ. He shows no love for the truth, and he shows no love for his brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Diotrephes is a danger to the local church. And John states in verse 10 that if he comes, he will deal with this issue. This is not an issue that can be swept under the carpet. This needs to be an issue that has to be dealt with. But sadly, this is not just a first century problem. Sadly, there are still people like Diotrephes about. We still find them today in local churches. The focus is all on them. Warren Wiersbe, Bible teacher, said these words talking about these verses. It is this kind of member that destroys churches. Eager for power and authority, they trample on the truth. Truth goes out the window because power and authority is more important. Ignore the Bible, grieve the Spirit, and scatter the flock. Destroy the church. It's this kind of member that destroys churches. Eager for power and authority, they trample on the truth, ignore the Bible, grieve the Spirit, and scatter the flock. And most churches' divisions, most splits in churches, are rarely over doctrine. It's rarely over theology. Sometimes we need to put a line in the sand and say, no, we're not going to have fellowship there. For people who have departed from the truth, who have departed from God's word, who have departed from Christ and the teaching about Christ, there are times that we need to put a line in the sand and say, no, if we are going to keep walking by the truth, we need to separate here because you have left the truth. You are into false teaching. If there are splits in churches, divisions, it's rarely over doctrine and truth and the authority of God's word. It's usually the result of pride in people's hearts. It's usually about personal tastes, what I want, what I like, and it's usually about strong personalities. It's when the love of Christ and the love of the truth and the love for brothers and sisters in Christ is replaced by the love of me and my needs and my interests and my position of authority as well. Now, you might be here this morning thinking this is not a problem in our church. Let's pray that it doesn't become a problem in our church. But here's what I would say. We need to watch. We need to be on our guard in case we stop walking in the truth. Because when we stop walking in the truth, what happens? We stop having love for one another. And when we stop walking in the truth, the love goes, divisions come in, and we find people like Diotrephes, eager for power and authority, trampling on the truth, ignoring the Bible, grieving the Spirit, and scattering the flock. Let's be on our guard. Let's make sure that we continue to be people walking in the truth. Gaius was somebody who was walking in the truth, and so he showed love, even for strangers as they showed up at the door. He had an open heart. He had an open home. He was a blessing, and not only was he a blessing, he was a fellow worker in the gospel. Just in very practical ways, just showing love, he He was helping the gospel and truth go forth. Theotrephes was the complete contrast. He loved himself. Instead of being a blessing, he was a curse to the church. He wasn't walking in the truth, and so therefore he wasn't showing love one for another. And what was the result? He was destroying a local congregation. So let me go back and finish with the question I asked right at the start. Most of you can't remember the question I asked right at the start after I did my Bible reading. What kind of church member are you? What kind of church member am I? Am I a blessing or am I a curse? Are we people who are showing love for one another, showing love in lots of practical ways? Are we people who are causing division? Are we fellow workers for the truth? Or are we a hindrance to the truth and a hindrance to Christ's name as it goes forward? How do you make sure you're a Gaius and not a Theotrephes? It's very simple. It's very simple. Keep walking in the truth. Keep obeying Scripture. Keep spending time in God's Word and reading it and meditating, praying it in, asking God's Word, asking the truth to shape and mold your heart and your life. Keep putting Christ first. He must increase and I must decrease. It's a great prayer. Make that your prayer every day. He must increase. I must decrease. Keep praying for work of God the Holy Spirit in your hearts to make you more like Christ. Do that work of conforming you, your heart, and your life to deal with the sinful flesh, to fill you with the Spirit so you'll be more conformed to the image of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And when you're more like Jesus Christ, you'll be walking in the truth and you will be showing love for one another, because Christ was the ultimate example of one who showed love for one another. And those who walk in the truth show love. So make that our desire. Let's be people who walk in the truth, who bring joy to others, who show love in very practical ways. And next week we'll pick it up as we see that people who walk in the truth imitate good. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And as we prayed before we looked at your word, as we sang that new song, we pray that it would fill our hearts and our lives, that it would teach us, it would challenge us, it would console us. Help us to be people who are walking in the truth because we love Christ and we love your word and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to walk in the truth. Help us to show love and help us to have that humble heart where we are living more like your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. May he increase and we decrease for your glory and for the blessing of this local church. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.